Our sermon today is entitled, A Surprise Adoption, and you'll note that the scriptures there are part of the scriptures that was spoken of as we did the candle lighting. So if you would, open in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. We're going to look at the lesser told story during the season of Advent. We often hear of Mary, but so few times, of course, in my ministry, I like to incorporate both of them, but in many churches, the story of Joseph is kind of left out because it's about Mary and the child. Well, it's also about Joseph because this young man didn't come into a dysfunctional family. He came into a fully functional family. In fact, one that was asked to have a higher level of commitment than many others. So if you would, in the book of Matthew, in the first chapter, we're going to begin in verse 18. From the 18th verse of the first chapter, we read these words. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Blessed be the reading of the Lord's Word. As we think about this truth, as we think about this light that we've just lit, it's the light of joy. How does this story play into lighting the candle of joy? Well, I want you to think about Joseph. How happy do you think, how much joy do you think Joseph had knowing that the woman that he was pledged to be married to was found to be with child? There was no joy. In fact, in his world, in that day and age, for her to be found bearing child prior to their coming together, that meant that she was an adulteress and she should have been stoned, not divorced, killing both her and the child. But Joseph was a righteous man. Joseph was a good man, the scripture says, and he chose not to do such a thing. In fact, he was going to divorce her quietly so as not to bring shame upon her family. That speaks something about the heart of Joseph that we hear so little about. Because if he'd have been a devout man, if he'd have been a man of such standing and stature in the Word, I'm talking about legalism, he'd have demanded her death for justification. But he was a man, truly a man of God, because he walked in humility. He walked in gentleness. He understood the Word. He knew the law. But he also knew grace. How do we know this? By the very reality of what we see here. Joseph trusted God to be the judge, not that he needed to be the judge. So you see, the first thing we need to understand about Joseph was that he already had a sense of trust. And the Lord knew that he could trust Joseph. But now Joseph needed to trust God. So God sent an angel to him. How many of us would like to have an angel show up in our bedroom? I don't think we really would. Many of us would say, oh yeah, we like to kind of play with that idea. But if a messenger of God came to you, something in your life is about to change. You're about to be asked something that you can't do. but God can through you. And Joseph was asked to take a woman who the story had gotten out was giving birth to a son, and she's going to say that it's the Holy Spirit doing this. Please remember this. This is something so crazy that you don't understand it. We look at it and we say, well, what's crazy about that? You know, everybody knows the Holy Spirit, and you know, No, in this day and age, they had no idea who the Holy Spirit was. All they knew was Yahweh. All they knew was God the Father. Because that's all he had presented of himself up until this time. The Holy Spirit only came at specific times to empower people, and they didn't call him the Holy Spirit. They just said the power of the Lord came upon him. Think about Samson, okay? Every time Samson did something extraordinary, the power of the Lord came upon him, and he defeated how many people with the jaw of a donkey, okay? He slew how many people? Every time the power of the Lord came upon him, they had no idea who the Holy Spirit was. So to say these things, it was blasphemy. But Joseph had to trust God that something new was happening. And when an angel shows up in your house, I think we can begin to trust God, don't you? And that's exactly what Joseph had to do. He had to trust God. Why did he trust God? Because he was a believing man. You see, Joseph had to trust and Joseph had to believe. And God knew Joseph believed. How? Because of the way he came into this situation, wanting to walk in humility, wanting to walk gently. He really loved Mary. How do we know that? Because he didn't want to harm her. But to bring her into his home meant disgrace. But now, trusting God and believing that God had truly brought this angel before him, he did something that most men would never have done in this day and age when this is happening. He accepted Mary as his wife and took her to his home at that moment. Do you know what that means? You see, they're married in betrothal. But you don't come together with him. You don't have union until you as a Jewish person have established your home, have built the house that you are going to live in, and then, and only then, you pay the dowry for your wife, and then you receive her to yourself. And on that day, you consummate your marriage. Joseph didn't consummate his marriage. He simply brought her home as his wife and had no union with her, believing that the child that was in her was the Holy One of God. He had to trust. He had to believe. And finally, he had to commit. Now, isn't it amazing what we were talking about in our Bible study today? Folks, if you are not involved in our discipleship group, you need to get involved in our discipleship group. God is tying together every sermon every Sunday with what we're learning in discipleship. I am not that good. I do not sit down and look at the discipleship lessons and put this stuff together. Okay? God moves in my heart and in Miss Sally's heart, and we plan a direction, and that's where we go. Amen, Miss Sally? We pray and we work together. It's so amazing to see how our services evolve. And I use that word because God has to make it happen. And then we get into our discipleship time. And what were we talking about today? Hosea and his commitment and integrity. And here we're now talking about Joseph, who showed us a sense of commitment that went above and beyond the call of duty. Because he was willing to marry the young lady, but to be found with child, to trust this angel that showed up, you know, that could have been a bad cheese dream, you know, some rough oatmeal the night before, or, you know, possibly having a little bit too much pot roast too close to bedtime. But he trusted God. He believed in the word that was spoken to him, and he committed his life. This child is not his. He has no, quote, skin in the game. And he's going to raise this one up as his very own. This is important because this is for the second part of our sermon. This plays a big portion. Because Joseph had to invest himself in this young man's life. Joseph had to provide and protect this young man from all the harm that was going to come after him. And we know he did it, because after he was born and the Magi visited and the threat came that Herod was going to kill him, Joseph did what? He took up his wife when the angel spoke to him again and said, flee, and he got out of there. And then we hear very little about Joseph after that, don't we? But how good of a father was Joseph? How committed was Joseph to the relationship? Well, we realize a little bit later when Jesus is 12 and he goes to the temple, we see Joseph. Remember, he's the man of the house. Joseph is operating in a manner that is bringing this young man up in the tradition and righteousness of God. That at the age of 12, he was going into Jerusalem for his bar mitzvah. He was going in there to become a man in the temple. And what happens? We know what happens. Jesus comes into his own right. In other words, his earthly father succeeded in all his task of raising this young man up till he became a man in Jewish right. And from that moment on, we don't hear anything more about Joseph. Why? Because Joseph was fully committed to his work and fulfilled it. And that's what we need to be, is committed to our work, the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the work that God sets before us, not our works, but the work of the gospel, speaking to others, letting them know that Jesus Christ loves them, that the Son of God came on their behalf. Mitch said it to me this morning. What did you say to me this morning, right out there in the lobby? It's that easy. Merry Christmas. The Savior of the world has come to you. And that's what we need to do. We need to be so committed that we not only share that word, but that we live it ourselves. And that's the second portion, because I want us to understand, here's this man. Why is this so important? Why is this joy? Because he brought joy to the entire world. He raised up him who is joy, Jesus Christ. He put his life on the line. He put his plans on hold and accepted the call of God into his life to do what God planned, to do what God willed, to be what God wanted him to be, which was far greater. I'm telling you right now, which would you rather be? And I want you to really think about this, because, man, I have here of late. Would you rather be the God of children that you've raised up, or would you like to be the guy who is considered to be the earthly father of God? What a responsibility. To be called the adopted father, human father of God. You see, at a point in time, and this is kind of funny because I don't look at God as needing anything, right? But God, who is God and can only be God, said, look, I need somebody to adopt my son and take care of him down there so he can live a human life. Joseph, you're that guy. I choose you. Out of all the men in all of creation, why did he choose Joseph? I can't tell you why. Because we're not told. But I know this. He was of the line of David. And he was a righteous man. A committed man. A trusting man. A believing man. And in those pieces, in commitment, in trust, and in belief, we truly will find joy. Who is joy? Jesus Christ is our joy. Oh, to be the Father of God and know that the Maker of the universe is right there and you're going to raise Him up. Whew. He may not have been my blood child, but to realize that I am His spirit child and He chose me to be His human example. Wow. To be Joseph. And then the amazing thing is, like I said, after Jesus is 12, we don't hear a word. Nothing. I can't wait to get to meet Joseph in heaven. Because it says, he who is first will be last, and he who is last will be first. And there's so little said about this man. I know in heaven, his mansion is huge. And he's probably out there taking care of the weeds. Just the kind of man I think he would be. He's out there working the garden. He's not sitting around sipping on iced tea. He's about to work, walking and being humble, but fully committed to what God has entrusted him. So what does this have to do with us and how we live or how we anticipate Christmas? This is the awesome aspect of what we've just learned here, because God wants us to be committed. God wants us to understand who we are and whose we are. Because you see, and this is something I want you to write down. I want you, if you're taking notes, this is something I want you to ponder. Because you see, God's Son, man adopted. Okay? God needed us to provide and protect. He needed a man to provide and protect Jesus while he was here on earth. Now, yes, God the Father did some supernatural protection, didn't he? But he needed a man to follow through. He needed someone here to be committed. And just as sin came through a man, so too forgiveness came through a man. And that man is Jesus Christ. And the awesome thing is that our sons, our daughters need to be adopted. Not by man, but by God. Because only he can provide and protect for them. We can give them some supervision here on earth, but we know that there is a provision and protection that only comes from God. So the first point is God's Son, man adopted, and in Christ, man's Son, God adopted. Get it? How does that happen? Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verses 14 through 19. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 19. Excuse me, go back one verse to 13. I have 14 here. I don't know why I wrote 14. It should be 13. From verse 13 in the book of Romans in the chapter of 8, we read these words. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are God's children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. And the second scripture that I want you to turn to is 1 John 3. Flip back to 1 John, which is before Revelation. 1 John chapter 3. One through 10. From the first verse, we read these words. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that He appeared so that He might take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. No one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. no one who continues to sin has ever seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his neighbor. And finally, from the book of Hebrews in chapter 12. And for those of you who know me, you know that this is part of my life. It is to be part of the life of every Christian. Because this is how we know that we are legitimate children and not illegitimate children. Remember this from our Bible study, Mr. Wendell. Mr. Wendell could have preached my sermon today. He answered two questions and he brought you every point that's in my sermon. We should have just had him get up here. We would have been out of here 15 minutes ago. From chapter 12 in the 7th verse. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father's discipline? How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Blessed be the word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need God in our lives. Why? Because when we are adopted as sons of God, as daughters of God, as children of God, He truly brings us joy because we need to learn how to trust who He is. And He's trusting us to walk a life of righteousness. He's shown us the way. Jesus Christ is the way. He's telling us that we need to have faith to believe. We need to believe what? We need to believe what Christ did for us and who we are now. If we believe the very reality that I spoke to the children, that God sent His Son to die for our sins, and that He rose again after the third day, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father, so too will we know that we are saved. Each and every one of us who believes that truth walks in the faith of Jesus Christ. And the final thing that we need to do is we need to be committed to God as He is committed to us. We learned today in our Bible study, in our devotion, or our discipleship time, that God, since the very beginning, has been committed to man. He has never left us nor forsaken us. Even though we left Him. In fact, He's so committed to this that He died on our behalf. And God says that we need to commit ourselves to Him, to God's provision, to God's protection, for His love. And in Him, His love is complete. And that brings us joy. He says in the Scriptures, I tell you these things that your joy may be complete. And that means that when we follow Him and walk with Him, everything that He promises us is ours. Now, I need to ask you a question. How many of us receive everything here and now? You can't take it with you. That's the amazing thing. God says there is treasure stored up in heaven for you that you don't even know about. Because if you had it here on earth, what would we do with it? We'd squander it, wouldn't we? Because we're still stuck in this sinful body. But God is so confident and so committed to us that He has kept back a portion and He's stored it up in heaven. And the day will come when we who are committed to Him, committed to being changed by the grace and love of His Son, will walk with Him. And in that day, we'll receive a treasure far greater than we could ever hope or dream. Now, I don't know about you. I can't think of a treasure greater than eternity itself. The fact that I can live with God, that my sins are wiped away, and I will not burn. Because, oh, I know what I deserve. Because I know what I've done. But God says, the key word there is what? Done. And He says, it's all done. And if that doesn't bring you joy, I don't know what does. So this Christmas, let's get that gift of joy out there. Let us trust God. Let us believe in Him and let us be committed to Him. And the spreading of His Word and the living of His Word, not only for our sakes, but for our children's sakes and the generations that are to come. And when hardship comes, remember it is God who is training us up in discipline. Why? Because He hates us? How many of us discipline our kids who are righteous people? Because there are many out there who are unrighteous and it's called abuse. God is not an abusive father. God loves us and disciplines us for our own good, to correct us and bring us closer to Him. Isn't that why we corrected our kids? You know, I can tell you right now, I brag only in the Lord, because the only reason I have him is because God cured him of cancer. My son, Russell, I only ever had to spank him, not a joke, twice in his life. The first time I spanked him broke my heart. The second time I spanked him broke his heart. And I never had to spank him after that. All I ever had to do was say, Russell. And the tears came instantly, and he was so upset that he disappointed Dad. Oh, that we would be like that. That we would hear our Heavenly Father call our name and say, Bob. And instantly we would fall to our knees and repent and change. Oh, what joy it will be when the day comes when we are truly changed. And is that not what we are all waiting for in Christ? Is that not one of the great treasures that we are looking forward to? You see, folks, I think we think of the treasures that are in heaven in store for us are monetary. And I hate to tell you this, they ain't. They are treasures far beyond anything you can hope or dream. They are treasures of a changed being that knows truly how to love selflessly instead of selfishly, who knows how to give with totally no strings attached, not expecting anything in return. I believe the lives that we're going to get and the treasures that we're going to receive are truly heavenly treasures. Because I hate to tell you this, gold and rubies and emeralds, they're building material. Who wants to carry around pavement in your pocket? God has true treasures in heaven for us. And I hate to tell you, there were the things that we squander here on this earth. And in eternity, we'll know their true value, because we'll be looking right into the value Himself, God our Father, who is joy, hope, peace, patience, comfort, mercy, gentleness, kindness. And we will all want those things above and beyond anything else. And not only want them for ourselves, but for everyone. Everyone. So this Christmas, we truly have a reason for joy. But we need to be committed to that joy like Joseph was, trusting and believing and walking in the light of Christ. For in 3 days, 4 days, we're in a light, the light of Christ. And our Advent wreath will be full. And the light of Christ will shine in this church. But I dare say, in each and every one who believes, He already does. Would you pray with me? Father God, I thank you that you trusted us enough to send your Son, that man could adopt him. And that in Christ, Lord God, we give you an even greater blessing because, Father God, you have adopted our children that they may know your hope and your love and your care. And Lord, we trust you to raise them up. We trust you and we believe that you have a better life and a better word for them and for us. So we commit ourselves that we may truly know the joy of a life of righteousness, a life that leads to eternity. Father God, as each of us anticipate a time of Christmas when we get to celebrate and be with our family and give the gifts of love around the table, I pray, Lord, that the greatest gift that we would give is the gift of commitment, the gift of trust, and the gift of belief. For these three gifts truly sum up exactly who you are in each of our lives. You are the trust, you are the belief, and you are the commitment that holds it all together. So, Lord God, may we emulate that light, and may we be as Christ in this world, both in our personal lives and in our corporate lives. For this we pray thee in Jesus' holy name. And all God's children said, amen. And amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.